Good morning. Welcome to worship today. We're glad that you're here with us. There's a whole lot of announcements crammed on this page, so if you'll check those out, you'll be better informed and more able to participate in the life of our congregation as we seek to serve God in this place. But I will draw you to several things. There is a church council meeting today, immediately following worship. If you are on the church council, we will try to go as fast as we can. We are going to look at the budget and a couple other important things. We're going to meet across the street in the office complex like normal, so I will get there as quickly as I can. And if you need to start the meeting before I get there, well, that'll just mean we all get home sooner, so I'll leave that to your discretion. I am heading this week to Luther Ridge for the North Carolina Synod Fall Convocation, so that will be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that I'll be there returning late Wednesday evening. If there are important things that come up, I'll have my phone and I'll be able to return messages, so you can try me that way, but just so folks know, I won't be in the office. And then this Thursday, we are scheduled to serve a meal at the Genesis House, which is the homeless shelter downtown that is particularly for families with children. So that's this Thursday. I believe the meal is going to be around 6, Neil. And Neil is heading that up, and you still got a lot of spots you could put people in, Neil. So if you'd be willing to help do that on Thursday, either providing food or showing up and serving that meal, setting it out, talk with Neil, please. I think the last one I'll say is on the 20th of this month, the Women of the ELCA Fall Gathering is here at Holly Grove. That's a Saturday. That begins at 8 o'clock?
8:30.
Registration
starts at 8:30.
Okay.
Business meeting will start at 9, then we'll have brunch, and then there will be a Bible study.
8:30 registration, 9 o'clock brunch, Bible study, and that is open to all women, presumably, right?
Yes.
When we say the fall gathering, we're talking about from our region. I think that includes Winston and Davidson County, and I don't know who else. The Central Conference, okay. And are there two conferences or three or 17 or? The Central Conference is meeting here on the 20th and you are invited to join them, yeah. I'll point you to other announcements here of which there are many. I believe we have again today lemonade being sold by our silly youth immediately following worship right out here, just as a way for them to raise money for their programming. So if you are parched, like I usually am when I come out of worship, get you a lemonade, and if you can put a couple of bucks in the bucket, that would help toward the silly programming. Are there other announcements we should point out? Joe?
The scholarship committee will be hosting another lunch/dessert auction and sign auction on Sunday, November 5th, right after church, so we'll continue that spaghetti.
Thanks, Joe. The 4th of November. And an update on a few folks who we've been praying for. Keep Joe's family in your prayers, Gaynell and Marshall. Marshall, we've been praying for a long, long time, and Marshall's been not well for a long, long time, and that, we think, has probably entered another phase now. So just as they look at that transition, keep Marshall and Gaynell in your prayers, if you would. Wilson Hearn is on our prayer list. Wilson was hit by a tennis ball serve right in the eye last Saturday night, a week ago, and just a freak thing. his brother hit the ball and it hit him in the eye, and he had damage to his retina. And so that's been a little touch and go for them in terms of impacts on his vision going forward. The appointment on Wednesday, healing looked good, but it's still sort of touch and go. So keep them in your prayers. And then a couple of folks were in the hospital this week. Eugene Queen had a gallbladder removed at Baptist this week, and Burnett Monteith was at Lexington this week with some issues. So all those folks, I believe, are already on our prayer list, but just wanted you to know that those things are happening so that you can pray for them in those particular needs. Other announcements we should be aware of? I think we have at least one prayer shawl this morning.
So this prayer shawl is for Robin Sink. It is a lady that Amy and I met at the Y, and I think she worked with Lori years ago. She has been a diabetic forever, and now she's having, she needs a kidney transplant, and so she's having to take dialysis. So she needs our prayers.
We wish happy birthday this week to Bobby Claude Felter, and happy anniversary to Todd and Amy and Marty and Chris. Are there other folks we should add to that list? Let's pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to make a change on the fly this morning, and it's I shouldn't do this to Judy after she just played so lovely, but I would like to sing for the hymn of the day today, number 623, which will be Rock of Ages, and I will during the first hymn come up here and change the number, because I'm not even going to remember that from now to then if we don't change the number. So hymn of the day, Judy, is that okay? 623, Rock of Ages, and I'm kicking myself because I love to sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, but I think this one goes particularly well with our text. So 623 will be the hymn of the day. We stand as we begin worship on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Sovereign God, you have created us to live in loving community with one another. Form us for life that is faithful and steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join us up here for a children's message.
Good morning. Today I brought some bats and some balls, and I want you to look at them. They kind of look the same, but there's something different about them. Hold those and take a look at them and see if you can figure out what's different and pass them on. Pass them around. What's different? Okay, that one's a little tall. Okay, anything else? Keep passing it. Oh, okay, everybody stop and listen a minute. Rosalie, say it again. That's right. So even though they kind of look the same, this ball is really hard, so I wouldn't want anybody to get hit, but if I were to throw this one, this would hurt a whole lot more than this one because this one's really soft. See the difference? And the same thing with these bats. I don't think you would really want to be hit with that one, but this one's softer, and so if you were hit with it, it wouldn't hurt as bad. So today, Pastor Matt's going to talk to us about Jesus saying that sometimes our hearts are hardened. Now, you know, we have a heart in our chest area, right? And so sometimes it doesn't really get hard, but sometimes it gets hard because our head's not thinking right. So I want you to pass around these two hearts. Now, they don't look alike, but I want you to feel of them and see which one you think feels more like love. Feel the both of them. No. What do you think?
The bigger one is the right heart because you're not to everybody.
It's, that's right. So I think if you feel of them, this one. So why do you think this soft heart feels more like love? Why do you think it would feel more like love? What makes it feel that way?
Soft.
It's soft. So what does that mean to have a soft heart or a hard heart? What do you think, Isabel?
A hard heart means like
they're
confused about something.
That's. Very good. And I didn't even see her last night. She spent the night with her Nana. So that was a good answer. So a hard heart is when we don't love ourselves, when we don't focus on God, when we don't love others, when we don't accept people that are different, and when we don't forgive. Maybe we don't forgive ourselves or we don't forgive someone that's hurt our feelings. So we always have to soften our heart back up. And so the good news is, even if your heart gets hard, you can soften it back up. So let's all hold this soft heart and we're going to say a prayer. Dear God,
help me know
your miracles.
Help me love myself.
Help me love myself.
Help me love others.
Help me love others.
Help me accept others.
Help me accept others.
And help me forgive.
Help me forgive.
To keep a soft heart.
To keep a soft heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys for coming today. And I think we have Children's Church.
Hey, Children's Church, you can line up over here at the door, or you're welcome to go back and sit with your friends at your seat.
A reading from Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And then he took one of his ribs, closed it up its place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 8 and will be read responsively. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have found a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger.
When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established.
What are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them?
Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor.
You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All sheep and oxen, and also the beast of the field.
The birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. A reading from Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he inherited is more excellent than their heirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere that are human beings, that you are mindful of them, or mortals, that you care for them. You have made for them a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We stand.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, What did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then, in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her, and if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So who's excited to talk about divorce this morning? Yeah, me neither. Why do you suppose that is? I'm guessing that our reluctance has to do with the fact that we hear Jesus talk about this divorce as adultery, and it's jarring for us. Some of us have been through divorces, and we might wonder what that says about us. Any number of feelings might come up: sadness, regret, relief. And some of us haven't been divorced, but we know good people who have, and we struggle to justify what we know of them as good people and yet hear Jesus name them as adulterers. I think the source of our discomfort is not so much about marriage and divorce specifically, but it's this question about what it means when we actively go against the will of God. How does God sort out this mess of our sin? I think that's where the discomfort comes from. But before we get there, we need to note a few things around this conversation about divorce that I think color this whole conversation. And the first is, Jesus was not out there looking to publicly call out people who have been divorced. He didn't sit everybody down on the grass and say, "Now, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her," right? That's not how it went down. What happens is the Pharisees are trying to get Jesus in trouble. That's how this whole episode starts. Because the Pharisees know that John the Baptist was imprisoned and then eventually beheaded because John preached against what Herod had done. And what Herod had done was convince his brother to divorce his wife so that Herod could marry her for himself. And the Pharisees know all of this. I think they're probably hoping here that they can get rid of Jesus the same way. If they can trip him up around this topic of divorce, they can get rid of him without having to do it themselves. Now, once they bring it up, Jesus doesn't pull any punches about what he thinks about divorce. But I do think it's significant that Jesus didn't look to bring this up on his own here. Second, divorce in Jesus' day was a very, very different thing than it is today. 2,000 years ago in Palestine, women were something very similar to the property of their husbands, with next to no rights or power of their own. Once they were married, women were dependent on their husbands to take care of them. And outside of marriage, there were very few alternatives by which a woman could provide for herself or her children. None of them were reputable alternatives. This made women especially vulnerable when it came to divorce, because divorce could put a woman and potentially her children out on the streets with no options. And according to some rabbis, a man could divorce his wife if he found anything at fault, anything about her that he did not like. Oh, and did we mention, we should, that in Hebrew law, there actually was no way for a woman to divorce a man. This was a one-way street. In fact, in Hebrew law, adultery could only be committed by a woman. If a man messed around on his wife, well, things happen. But if a woman messed around, everybody agreed that it was her husband's right, that he was justified in divorcing her. Ridiculous double standard here, and one that left women with no power. So when we understand the awful circumstance around divorce in Jesus' day, I think we begin to understand a little bit better why Jesus would be so adamantly clear that divorce is not something that's good for the people of God. It's got nothing to do with checking off a list of God's rules. It's got nothing to do with God's nice list or God's naughty list. It's not about people proving that they can stay married. It has everything to do with the well-being of the vulnerable. And finally, we should note that none of God's rules, none of them, are about lording power over us. That's not what God is about. They aren't about God proving that God can make us dance when God says dance. All God's rules are about God's care for us. They're about God wanting the best for us. So when it comes to marriage, that's what God is about. That's what God wants for us, the best. And that's not what divorce is. You all know this. I don't have to do backflips to convince anyone that divorce is painful, it's messy. Far from the best, it is brokenness lived out. And God wants better than that for us. Now, the sad reality is that we live in a world that does not live up to what God wants for us. Not yet. Divorce is one of the many tragic symptoms of the presence of sin in our lives. And the good news is that God will not let this stand, that even now God is working to bring the fullness of the kingdom through Jesus Christ, and that is a kingdom in which sin and death are no more, and so by extension, divorce is no more. In the meantime, we as the church are called to work for the good that God intends, and that means supporting the relational lives of both single people and married people. And we need to do this in a way that doesn't put marriage up on some kind of pedestal as the be-all and end-all. We need to be clear that while marriage can be a wonderful gift, it is also true that not all of us are called to marriage. Some of us may well be called to be single. Marriage is not the solution. Marriage will not save us. Only Jesus can do that, right? And while we are honest about the fact that divorce is clearly never good and should never be the norm for us, I think we also have to admit there are some times when divorce might be better than the alternative. Because what God intends for us, what God calls us to in marriage, is a partnership of mutual support and care for one another, that we would be a helper to one another. But the broken reality is that there are times when, because of our hardness of heart and the presence of sin in this world, true marriages have ended a long time ago, or sometimes never existed at all. I think to continue to call these broken relationships marriage, to continue to live that lie, would be a disservice to the true and good calling that is marriage. In these instances, it is the church's call to care for hurting people, not to judge them. When the Pharisees corner Jesus over this question of divorce, they want to see if they can trip him up over questions of legality. But Jesus did not come to judge what people can get away with. Jesus came to bring God's kingdom of wholeness and peace for all of creation. What that means is that Jesus is about a higher standard than what you can get away with. Jesus is interested in what is good. And so Jesus works for the good of all people with a particular interest in and for the people that are vulnerable. So in first century Palestine, that meant women. It meant children. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Which doesn't mean that you have to accept Jesus or be baptized or whatever before you reach adulthood. That's not what's happening here. Nor does it mean that you have to be all innocent like a child to receive God's kingdom, because you've met children, right? Presumably. If not, you can borrow some of mine for an afternoon if you need to. The only time children are consistently innocent is when they're sleeping. And in their waking hours, they tend toward being selfish, manipulative, and disobedient as often, I think, as they seem innocent. The childlike comparison is not about being perfect and innocent. We've all made mistakes. Where children are an example for us is in their neediness. There is no way that my children can take care of themselves, right? They depend on us completely for food, for shelter, for clothing, for knowledge of the world. They are completely dependent. This is the way we enter the kingdom of God, completely dependent on God's forgiveness and grace, on God's love for us, not by avoiding divorce or any manner of other sins, though we should try to avoid them for the good of ourselves and for others, but we enter the kingdom of God by depending totally on God's grace, God's love for us in Jesus Christ. And the good news is that God responds to our neediness. God responds to the world's brokenness. In Jesus Christ, apart from your deserving, you have forgiveness and life, pure grace. And in Jesus Christ, the brokenness of this world will be made whole. That's sin, that's divorce, that's all of it. Jesus brings wholeness. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn is number 623.
Let us proclaim our faith with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. Again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit.
longing for God's will to be fulfilled among us, we pray persistently for the church, the world, and all people in need. Holy God, send your blessing out into the world through missionaries, evangelists, and servants of your church. Through them and through us, Lord, spread good news to all who need it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise you, God, for the animals of the field, the birds of the sea, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and all the works of your hands for your good creation. Let our care for all you have made reflect your desire for the health of all creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Rule the nations of this world, Lord, with the same grace you employ to align planets, stars, and moons. Where there is disorder among us here in this place, move us toward righteousness and justice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, deliver your care to your children who feel unworthy of care. Bend down low to lift up people who struggle to find others who will embrace them in time of need. We pray, God, for all especially in need of your care, for Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Harold, the family of Elizabeth, the family of Betty, Lydia, John, Wilson, Ann, Eugene, Billy, Gracie, Chuck, Daryl, Wayne, Judy, Tommy, Kathy, Noah, Kevin, James, the family of Roy, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bring reconciliation, Lord, in this community. Heal relationships that are broken. When we face division, open our eyes to new signs of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Enfold all things in your compassion, gracious God, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for your world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our praise and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say our mission statement on page 5. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
In peace, serve the Lord.